Hey guys, Dante here with Spoiler Log. Just a quick edit to this episode. So when we recorded this with Keebs, he was what we thought an upstanding member of the community. However, we did find out later that he had been cheating in races, has since been banned way back, has also come back multiple alts, basically violating rules. So we did want to put this out here. Obviously, myself, Dante, Temp, and Herf with Go Mode, none of us condone the activity, but we did want to leave this episode out here for historical purposes. So with that being said, we're going to give you this episode completely unedited from this point forward. Thank you for your time. If you continue to listen to it, we appreciate you doing that. And if you choose to skip this one, we totally understand that as well. Welcome to Spoiler Log and the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. It's its own podcast now, guys. Temp, let me do it. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but here we are. So thank you guys for the support. I appreciate all the kind words with the first three episodes that came out and for the opportunity. And so we're going to kick things off with a newer runner. We have Keebs today. Keebs was someone who caught my eye due to hitting the qualifier, like God route, it seems, jumping into the top quartile and seeing the improvement from their past. And I thought I'd love to chat with them and see what they did to improve, how they were doing the grind and how they play the game. And also just to get to know them a bit. I had never interacted with Keebs before this. And I got to say, it was a pleasure to talk to Keebs. Such a great guy. I hope you guys enjoy. So let's lift the rock up, get right on into the portal, and get on over to the interview. All right, on today's episode of the Spoiler Log, we have Keebs. Keebs, how you doing?
Hey, Dante, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So I have to start with this. This is what I started with everybody. So tell me how you got into this game we play called A Link to the Past Randomizer.
Yeah, it has always been my favorite game. Super Nintendo. This was my favorite game along with Super Mario World and Super Metroid. Basically, those are like the three I would play nonstop. And then the Game Boy Advance version came out, which I don't know if you played that one, but I used to play that all the time. And then when the Game Boy Player was a thing for GameCube, then I would play it on the GameCube from the Game Boy Advance. I've been playing it forever. I've played it hundreds of times. It's always been my second favorite game, maybe favorite game. Chrono Trigger's up there too.
Okay, a second favorite. I mean, we're done here. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, that's great. Like Game Boy Advance version, there's not many people, I think, who come in from that one, especially, you know, after all the hi-yahs from swinging the sword.
Yeah, it was definitely a good way to like continue playing once, you know, Super Nintendo kind of got put on the shelf and you bring out the new consoles and it was like, wow, I get to play my favorite game again and then play it another 100 times on the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah. So you mentioned the Game Boy, so I have to ask this. Were you blessed to have friends that you could hook it up and actually do the four swords side on the Game Boy cart and then actually get to play the secret dungeons? Because I still to this day have not been able to play those secret dungeons like from completing four swords, and I want to so bad.
Yeah, I have never played four swords on that game. Okay. Yeah, I remember other games like Four Swords Adventure on GameCube. Hooking up both mine and my brother's Game Boy Advance so that I could like play the game and be the, I don't remember what you were with the Game Boy, but yeah, be able to like play both sides of it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that I do remember that one. The standalone for GameCube was a lot of fun because you could, you know, like you said, you could just kind of play it yourself if you needed to or add a couple people.
Yep.
So if you played a lot of Link to the Past, growing up and stuff, Super Nintendo, I'm assuming you have a
a vast gaming history by chance? Is that something, am I right in assuming that?
Yeah, absolutely. My whole family is just like into games in general. So we just grew up playing games, always had, you know, whatever system was out at the time. Always had Nintendo systems growing up. So I was, you know, one of those that if I wanted to play Sega Genesis or something, we'd have to go to a friend's house because we didn't have Sega Genesis. We had Super Nintendo.
This is a Nintendo family.
Yeah, Nintendo family. Yeah, nothing beats, you know, the Friday night Mario Party with, like, you know, parents, grandma, like everybody playing Mario Party on N64.
Oh, man, I can't imagine my grandma playing Mario Party. that sounds like a whole lot of fun, though. So growing up, I mean, did you was Zelda like one of the mainline things? You mentioned Chrono Trigger. So I'm assuming you experienced that first on the SNES, right?
Yeah. Zelda just was like always my favorite. I've always been a huge fan of puzzle games. And Zelda was really the one that, yeah, there's action, adventure kind of thing, but there's lots of puzzles to solve. And the games were always just like really good, you know, musically and just the way the dungeons are put together. It always checked all the boxes for like what was a fun game for me. So every time a Zelda game comes out, like I always have to get it, always play it. Yeah, so it's definitely my favorite series ever. Really looking forward to Tears of the Kingdom coming out here.
If you were looking forward to that or not. I'm looking forward to it because the only problem with me right now is like there's a ton of work, like IRL work I've got to do. And I'm like, I need work to chill because I work from home most days. I just want to kind of check out that day and phone it in and play, but I don't know if I'll be able to. We'll see. And you mentioned dungeons being put together very well. Tell me this. What is your hot take, like very succinctly, on the Breath of the Wild dungeons, the four beasts? Did you like them? Did you want them to be longer?
Look, I like the game overall. I think the divine beasts in Breath of the Wild were a little lacking, but I really like the shrine aspect. And the exploration of all the shrines and just like the different challenges and types of challenges where like some are just combat, like kill this really hard guy. And some were like puzzles or, you know, whatever else you needed to do. I think they tried to find a medium there, but they probably could have done without the divine beasts, like, and just done something different and made you, you know, find pieces probably of something in shrines or who knows.
Yeah, it's one of those things to me where that it's like I felt like they had a lot of great ideas and then they were like, we're going to stuff all of them into this one game and we don't really know how we're going to do it, but it's going to be fun. And it was. I had a great time playing it. I did all the Korok things and that I low key don't regret that, but I kind of do but because of the reward. But anyway, so besides Link to the Past and, you know, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom hype. Is there any other like Zelda game that really stands out to you? Is that something that, you know, is there like a second favorite Zelda game?
Yeah, Link's Awakening for Game Boy Color specifically, because the color dungeon you have to have in there. And then probably Oracle Seasons before I even get into a 3D game. I think those three are the right combination of like nostalgia and just the stories. And I think they were really good. And they stand up over time. Like you could pick that game up today. And I think the remake of Link's Awakening kind of shows it, right? Like it's still got viability today. If you're new to Zelda, you could pick that game up, and have a great time and be like, wow, I want more Zelda.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I still want them to like redo A Link Between Worlds from the 3DS or even Link to the Past, like in that style from Link's Awakening in 2019. That'd be so great. So this is what piqued my interest with wanting to talk to you. So last year was the first time I really saw your name, and it was in the main tournament qualifiers. You finished 217th out of, I forgot how many people entered, but, you know, top 128 make it in with a score of 64.103 and went on to the Challenge Cup. And then this year, in 2023, Keebs here busts out a 21st place finish in qualifiers with a top quartile of a 94.430, which was like, okay, someone's been doing some practicing, someone's been improving, and I like to see that. So I wanted to highlight that a bit, and I wanted to kind of chat a bit too about how. So what did you do in this year to do a lot of this improvement? I know that's a very broad question, but like, what did things just work out in your favor? Did you grind out a bunch of things as far as like seeds and races?
Yeah. The short answer is I got good.
there you go.
I think it all really starts with the main tournament qualifier last year, because I had some like 40s in there, like as qualifying scores, right? Which if I looked at today, I'd be like, I need to leave the scene if I got a 40, right? those were my first competitive rando races. Now I had played with some friends. We used to like every Monday, we just have like a casual seed. But I had never really done competitive. I never played with the community. I didn't know anybody and was like, all right, I'm going to try my hand. Like I might be good enough. And then got completely demolished. And I was like, oh, I actually suck at this game.
It's relatable, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. So Challenge Cup, I'm like, okay, well, like, let me try my hand. Did pretty well in groups, made it out, got to top 32. So I was like, okay, like I have some potential. There's some really good players out here. If I want to do better next year, which was always the goal going into this year was just do better than last year. Mm-hmm. But between kind of that time, I was like, I need to practice. I need to get better at just general like movements, like boss fights, things like that. One, getting embedded with like a small community of rando runners that were at and above my level really helped, because it gave me a benchmark. It gave me people to compete against. Like, I got to get better than this person or stay up with this other person who's also learning.
Sure.
And then the other thing was really play NMG. I actually got into rando after I got into NMG, which is the opposite for most people, but I've always wanted to speed run Links of the Past. Had a terrible time. I think I still had like over 145 ish. So I was like, all right, we're going to get this down, put some times in there. And just a couple months ago hit a 129. So, finally feeling good about some of the execution and that sort of thing. And I think it really like paid out in the main tournament qualifiers, just to show that, you know, you hit the right route, you get a really good score. Sure, there's some luck there. I put up a 105. So like there's obviously some luck there. But I really didn't have bad scores. And I kind of lean on that execution bit. Routing is great and all to learn. But once you get the basics down, I think I recommend people really focus on just how do I get from room to room? How do I get through this room as efficiently as possible? You know, have friends watch your VODs back and that sort of thing. And critique.
And give you some crap about like, oh, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you correct it, right?
Absolutely.
So you mentioned I was going to like try to backtrack and say, so when did you get into rando? But you said you got into the speed run first. When did you start to take an interest in like NMG? And then how did that transition into rando occur for you?
Yeah. So I knew about rando, right? Well, before I even tried to pick up the game, had been watching main tournament on YouTube. I never really used Twitch before I started streaming. So watched you on YouTube every year when the videos would come out and all that. And I remember playing, I got the Super Nintendo Classic, the Mini, which I still use today to play, back in late 2017, I think it came out, right? I remember playing rando once then, and it was like I know I'm going to get it wrong, but it was like version 4. It was early days.
2017, old days, for sure.
Yeah, so I played one rando seed back then, didn't even finish it, was like, all right, let me put this on the shelf. And then when COVID hit that year in April, my condo also flooded. So I was not able to go out. I was in a long-term hotel for 3 months.
yikes.
And I had my Super Nintendo Classic, and I'm just like, what can I do? Like, let's learn how to play this game. It took me over a month to get like a sub 2 hour any percent time. Cause like I said, I wasn't even plugged in with the community. I didn't know anything.
Right.
I was just watching like videos and trying to replicate it. And then slowly was like, oh yeah, there's that rando thing. I should try that too. So I started playing probably later in 2020, maybe even 2021. Okay. So it really hasn't been that long. But by the time I started playing rando, I was, like I said, around 145 NMG, already knew the game, had played it hundreds of times, know where all the chests are. And I think that's one of the hardest parts about coming into a game, because I've tried to play other randos. It's just like, I don't know where any of the items are. Right?
I know. That's the most relatable thing, because when I heard there was a Minish Cap rando, I was like, I kind of want to play that. And then I even got an item tracker, like, yeah. I'll go to the green squares. Where the heck is that square? I have no idea. So like that experience was completely ruined for me. Yep. But yeah, having that little bit of knowledge definitely does work out. So when you were watching people trying to replicate them, like with NMG, like who were you looking up to, I guess, at that time, trying to mimic? Was it just like, all right, here's the top three people, I'm going to try and do exactly what they're doing?
Yeah, honestly, I would watch the world record video. I cannot remember who had it at the time. I apologize, but it was probably Ari, right? So
see, if it was 2020, it might have been either Zelnus or Zelna, I think. Sorry. Zelna, or maybe it was Eddie, one of his many names, I think.
Yeah, it might have been. I'm not really sure.
Someone in the podcast channel is going to correct me on that. So someone's going to know around that time.
Yeah, yeah. Look up, you know, April, May, 2021 or 2020. What year was that? I don't even know. 2020.
Yeah, late 2020. So you're grinding that out. Like, I actually looked up the times you submitted for speedruns.
Yeah.
Or was it speedrun.com? And you had like a 142, a 139, a 131, and a 129. So there's definite progression there since you started submitting times. You know, the 129, I think, is probably, you know, a huge milestone. A lot of people really do want that at sub 90. It's just, I guess, kind of coveted because there's a little bit of RNG and there's a lot of skill that goes along with it.
Yeah, for sure. That was a huge benchmark for me. I grinded for a long time to actually get that. And I know I can push it further. I just, at this point, I'm content. And I don't want to, like, get a really good time. Like, I'm not trying to push for 125 or something like that.
Right.
So I'm content with it for now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think about speedrunning that's so nice is that you can challenge yourself and then at the same time, you know, do what makes you happy. And if grinding is making you happy, by all means, please do it. Like, I think any high level runner or even low level runner that's got a grasp on things will tell you that. And then, you know, if it becomes not fun, that's a surefire way of saying it's time to move on to something else or either take a break, you know, something along those lines. I do want to point this out. You know, speedrun.com. I'm looking at those times.
Yep.
You do have one world record.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, for what is this? Pycross NP Volume 1 Beginner. Can you explain what that is to me?
Yeah, so Picross is, if you've ever played it, it's like, you know, it's like picture crossword or something, right? Also known as the nonogram. So you might see it as that name as well. But basically, like, you have to determine where you color in squares and, you know, based on the numbers that are in the grid. Like I said earlier, I really like puzzles. I play games like that right. on my phone, on my commute, like every day. So I was like, I want a world record. Let me find a game that I could reasonably get one in. And here, lo and behold, low hanging fruit. No one else in the category. Yeah, I'll take that. But no one come for it because it's precious to me. Thanks.
I mean, hey, I don't care if there's 100 or just one person there. That's it. You still have it. You put the effort in. You put the work in. You deserve it, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I was like, I saw world record. I was like, oh man, I got to click on this. And then I'm like, I've not had a whole lot of experience with Picross. I mean, as you can tell, I called it Pycross when we started. Yeah. When I asked you about it. So
yeah, it's pretty funny because even though it's like 5 minutes or something, like, I have a series of images that are saved in my computer that show like which direction to go, when to put like the blocks down to like optimize the pathing so that I'm moving the minimal number of squares and like all that fun stuff. So I really did put some work into it.
It's optimization. It's just like someone studying a route for NMG, I think. So
yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So the thing that kind of caught me off guard when I was doing some research about your rando progression too, is that, and I know I'm jumping all over the place here, so bear with me. I was dead sure that you were in one of the mentor tournaments, and you weren't.
No, I was not.
So you came in late, you said late 2020 time frame. Is that kind of when rando started for you as well? And then like, which I guess like there's so many sub communities, which communities you kind of fall in and learn like rando from, I guess is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah. So I really didn't have much of a community at first. And I didn't know about anything outside of like main tournament. So when that became my first entry point and didn't make it by a large margin, everyone was like, hey, there's such a thing as a Challenge Cup. And I was like, well, that's cool. So I go to Challenge Cup, meet people there who are like, hey, we have this other community where we do races and we, you know, do reviews and we, you know, just chat about the game and all that kind of stuff. So I joined them after mentor tournament for that year had already been a thing. I think it had already started or whatnot. I did know about mentor tournament, but in my head, and you know, this is just me, I probably could have applied to be a mentee. But I was like, I'm okay at the game. Like, I think this might be for people who are brand new. And I'm like, I've been playing for a while. Like, look, I was in Challenge Cup and I, you know, beat some people. And it turns out the people who were in like, you know, the top like half of mentor tournament probably could have beaten me, but I was signed up as a mentor and I'm like, all right, this game's a lot deeper than I think. So I fell in to what's known as the Rando Playhouse. A lot of good folks that's run mainly by John Snow, Aaron Snerd, Vextifer, some other folks that are kind of staples of the community that pulled in a lot of the mentees from last year and made a sub community there. So that's been kind of like my rando home. I've branched out here and there, found some other Discords, but that's where I'm most active. And that's where you can find me most days, just hanging out or playing a seed or critiquing friends.
There's definitely a lot of, you know, I'm in that Discord. There's definitely a lot of, you know, good runners there. There's a lot of vast information that's kind of at everyone's disposal if they just want to take it. So I think that's awesome. When you went into the Challenge Cup 2022, I noticed you did go on a little bit of a tear there. You went 5-1 in groups, which is pretty good, I'd say, especially against the likes of, you know, Slim Kirby, Windfox, and Zoramil. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. Well, you know, Windfox just qualified, you know, for the Invitational, his team, with the Invitational League. So like being able to take some wins there, I think that's something to definitely be proud of.
Yeah, I think at that time, you know, I think like especially Windfox, because I know Windfox, that was our first encounter, but we've had others and we play together sometimes too. I think we were both kind of maybe at the same level and we've both grown like a ton since then. You know, him proving, like you said, team being in Invitational next year for League, and he qualified for a main tournament as well. So definitely, you know, improving leaps and bounds. And the other runners in the group there, Slim and Zoramil, no slouches at the game either. You know, I shocked myself a little bit, but, you know, figured I can only play my game. Right. And I can learn from it either way.
Right.
And I had a great time in that group. And then in brackets got paired up with Captain 1977, I think is his number. I apologize, Captain. Another great guy, you know, continued to play with, even comm with sometimes. So, you know, the matches I had, I think were pretty even, and just happened to, you know, continue to prevail and get through there. But I think that experience really helped me kind of like continue to want to get better, because like I still, and I hate to say this, like, you know, I go back and watch those Challenge Cup races for inspiration. Because I watched them today and I'm like, wow, I sucked. Like, I'm so glad I got better, because you watch like some execution, you're just like, oh my gosh. Like if I watched somebody play that today and do that move, I'd be like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah. I stumbled upon some of my, like, cleaning up some hard drives back when I was, you know, first getting into the community in 2018. I was like, okay, they said you have to highlight all your VODs and local record. So I'm going to make sure I never delete these in case I'm like proof called on something. And then here we are in 2023. And I found some of those VODs and I was skimming through them and I was like, okay, we've definitely come a long way. Like, not just me, but like the entire community. Cause what was considered a good play then is like, what are you doing?
Right.
So it can be inspirational for sure. And then after you beat Captain, I see you played against The Thing, made it to top 32 and took it to 3 games, which was, you know, like we said, Rando, you just have to have some breaks go your way. And if they don't go your way, it can be the end of the road.
Yeah. And unfortunately, got kicked. I remember this distinctly, get kicked out of the tournament because the one time I don't check Hera basement, that's where the item was. I'll never leave it down.
Works. I mean, you mentioned old races. See, I mentioned 2018, and the first thing I think of is, man, Bombo's tablet really screwed me up in that 2018 tournament multiple times.
Yeah.
It took me a couple years to get over that, or at least get over the Bombo's tablet. But so let's continue your Rando journey here a bit, and jump in. Tell me where I'm wrong here, so because I know I'm gonna get this wrong. But you finish up with Challenge Cup, and then that's when you said you jumped into the Playhouse, you know, bouncing around with all the Rando toddlers. And did you get into the ladder at all, or is that not really something you do?
I have and do play ladder. It's very infrequent. The times do not always line up well with my work schedule. I'm only available for like a couple hours after work on weekdays. So it's really hard because if the race starts at like 6 Eastern, like for a lot of people, that's really good. For me, I'm like, I don't want to stay up till 8 o'clock because I get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's infrequent. I know my record is pretty bad because I use ladder as my opportunity to say, okay, this race really doesn't like count for anything other than my internet kudos. And I'm just going to like try different things. I'm going to pull out new routes. I'm going to not necessarily be clown, but like do some interesting routing choices to see what works well, what doesn't work well. And a lot of times it doesn't pay off, but I learn a ton. And my record shows that I lose a lot.
Well, you said you didn't like the clown route, but I have to, I want to call you on this just a little bit, and you can clap back on me or something if you want, but I won't out who told me this, but I asked one person I know. I said, do you know anything about Keeves? And they said, yeah. And they said, you know, just kind of the way he plays, he is a known and proud clown router. And that is a direct quote. So
that could be anyone, Dan. That could be anyone.
Yeah, I know.
I do like to make some interesting decisions sometimes, but I think they're defensible, right? Like in a lot of cases, like I'm not gonna do like, oh, I'm gonna bail on this dungeon and go run and do like the opposite corner of the world. But you know, there was a qualifier that, you know, I got an item in, I got hookshot in Mire. And instead of finishing the dungeon, finishing the boss, which was Green Pendant, I immediately ran back up the mountain to go to Hookshot Cave because it was isolated.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know, like if I want to make an interesting decision.
Risk 1 to 2 minute climb.
Right. Like for overdoing Swamp Palace, you know, or something like that, that was also a pendant. I'm just like, you know what? Let me go do this off check. There's 3 things left. And sure enough, there was go mode.
Wow. I mean, that's like the beauty of the game, right? Like the way we play it is that you have those chances to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get to 20, you get to later in 2022, you get to later in 2022 and tell me about your league team, which is one goo, one scotch, one bee, because I'm going to be like, to be very open and honest, when myself and some other people, and this is something I want to try and improve this upcoming season. When we do these reveals, there's a lot of team names that I'm reading and I'm reading these player names and I'm not very familiar with them. So tell me some history. How did this team, View 3, get together, and where'd that team name come from?
Yes. Yeah, so my fellow teammates, Deep Fried 87 and Bright-Eyed 77, were both mentees in the 2022 mentor tournament. So we're all in the Rando Playhouse together, play together a lot. I did not have a team, wanted to play in league. So I just posted in there like, hey, if anybody wants a teammate, like, I'm game. So the two of them had already been looking for a third and they're like, hey, let's do it. So I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I just want to play, like, let's figure it out. They were throwing around song names to be like Zelda themed, right?
Sure.
So we went with one blue goo, one scotch, one bee, as a riff on one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. There were several others that we threw out there. My contribution to that was, are you going to be my beau? As are you going to be my girl, that's from good. Jet? Yeah, which was a close that's second. Really which good. Was a close second. But inevitably we get asked which one of us is the blue goo and which one's the scotch and which one's the bee. So yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, chance, putting that team together, but we've really bonded. We really play well together. Deep Fried and I, especially, we do a lot of co-op. So we handled basically almost every co-op, race of league. And I think we won them all. Oh no, we lost one, one co-op race, but overall the team did really well. I think we were one game shy of getting playoffs because we were in a pretty stacked group.
Yeah, you were, cause you guys finished 7-7. I mean the one co-op game, it looks like you guys lost, was against the Long Shots. They ended up making, you know, playoffs, right, by the skin of their teeth. Like we like to give Temp a hard time about, but yeah, otherwise, I mean, you guys were playing really well. And there's, I mean, that group was totally stacked. Amish Paradise was a team. I remember they were like one of the favorites going in, I think, as far as the Open League goes. And looking back, it's easy to say that, you know, seeing how well they did perform. So I guess, is the league, like, you've only been in season 5, like we were saying, but is the league something you really enjoy as far as like the team aspect versus like the solitude of racing in like the main tournament or the Challenge Cup, or is it just a new fun way to do it for you or to play the game?
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed my team and my teammates. I really enjoyed co-op in general. Really stemming from that, hadn't played too much co-op, but after we did some, I was like, I can get used to this. Like, when's the co-op AD tournament? Like, like, let's do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, our team just like really vibed well together, and you know, we're all supporting each other, and we would have like little sessions together, like, hey, let's work on executing Meyer 2 and let's work on executing this boss. And
right.
So it was a really good way for us to kind of all grow together. Really looking forward to what's going to happen, you know, next year in league. You know, two of us have been are in main tournament. Maybe there's a chance we get promoted this year. So really looking forward to league. It's not necessarily like for me personally, like a bucket list item to be like, I'm an invitational. I think main was more important to me this year. League is like fun. I just want to have fun, you know, play with my friends, you know, I don't know if they feel the same way, but that's the way I was kind of approaching it.
I think it's a healthy way of looking at it, you know, is trying to have fun. You know, obviously everybody who's competitive is going to want to play well. I mean, there's no denying it. You know, you want to win your races, I would assume. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to put winning so high up on the pedestal that it just ruins, you know, the time you spend together with these folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, from last year, the takeaway was, like, even though we lost, what, 7 games, right? Like, we had 3 that were really close. And they were from each of us. Like, I had 1 bad race because I missed a check. You know, Deep Fred had 1 bad race because he skipped a check. And Breadhead had 1 bad race. So it was like no one's fault that we didn't make it. We equally contributed, like, wins and losses. Sure. So we just kind of had, like, a good time.
But what you're telling me is if you didn't have that 1 bad game, you would totally let the other two hold it.
Oh, yeah. They know it. They know it. Yep.
Perfect. All right. That's what I was expecting. Well, you teased it. I'm going to ask, and you could plead the 5th, but so who is the 1 blue goo, the 1 scotch, and the 1 bee? Like, who's who? You said people ask, so I'm going
to
ask.
Yeah. I think it depends on how we're playing. I like to think that I'm the blue goo, you know, self-proclaimed anchor, even though I think they'll argue with me.
So you've got the blue goo as the support, but, you know, if you leave Meyer with a hookshot to go straight to hookshot cave all by itself, then maybe you're the scotch and it just kind of works out, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say Brighteyed's the scotch, you know. I think he's kind of mellow and, you know, just having a good time. And then Deep Fried's the bee because he just lets it go and, you know, hopes he does something good with releasing the bee, I guess.
I've only seen like 1 or 2 things ever good come from releasing a bee, and it's usually a mini Moldorm cave.
Yeah.
I tense up every time I see a bee released against Mothula just because I know it's probably about to happen. Someone's going to die. So you get out of league, and of course, here we are now, kind of like main tournament time, 2023, and Async system starting up. What were your thoughts like coming in? Did you have any... I mean, obviously, you said you had the goal of wanting to make the main tournament. Besides that, was it just get in? Like, that's the goal. Did you have any concerns about the modes? Did you, you know, you can speak freely here. Like, you know, you don't have to, I don't want you to trash anybody directly unless you just really want to. but like, if there's, you know, if there's something you did or didn't like, I'm actually curious as to what that would be.
Yeah, I mean, being newer to the community, I think gives me a different perspective than a lot of people who've been around for a while. I thoroughly enjoyed the async aspect. I don't mind playing in the huge races, but they don't always work for me timing wise, sure, as I previously mentioned. So I like the ability to just kind of play on my own terms and do it when I can. Mode wise, I think it's a good representation of the different styles of play. I think we could probably tweak some things, like, you know, do you have a starting item for Invrosia, like, you know, Influ Keys last year or something like that.
Sure.
But, you know, Open Heart is probably going to be a staple. I like AD keys in general. I like more kind of full clear modes. We could probably do away with MC Boss. Maybe just Boss.
Big Boss, like, is so... Yeah, it's so polarizing. Either I hear people say I love it, or this is the worst mode. Like, yeah. I know at least one person who was doing really well in qualifiers, and then they got to McBoss and, like, forfeited and said, I'm not joining the tournament. Like, they were out at that point. They didn't care.
Yeah. I think lowest on the list for me, though, and I know I'm going to get some flack over this, is standard boots. Let's just play casual boots. Like, just give me the sword.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. Because when I read standard boots, I initially thought casual boots, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't casual boots.
Yeah.
You know, I can't item dash with the cane. I guess I could, but it's not gonna be the same. You know, but oh man. So you mentioned loving AD keys.
Yes.
This was something else I was told about you, is that you have a preset called Sad Keys.
Yes.
Can you tell me about Sad Keys and how this came to be?
Have you ever wanted to play AD keys, but you didn't want to find the keys? Well, you can play sad keys where you just start with all the keys, but it's still AD.
So you just have to find all the items.
Yes.
You start with all the keys in your inventory.
Yes, except for those that are dropped or under pots, right? Because I couldn't figure out how to do that in the sure. YAML file. But yes, you have all of the small and big keys that are normally found in chests. And it's basically just all dungeons from that point. And all the filler stuff is just 5 rupees.
It's just open. It's open all dungeons is what it is, with less, more opportunity to open chests and hope it's the item.
Yes, but because you're just finding 5 rupees over and over, it makes you very sad. So, sad keys.
So how did you come up with this? What was the fuel behind it?
Oh,
was there, or was it just, I've got this really great idea, great in air quotes, and then it becomes a thing.
Yeah. Great idea in air quotes. Yeah, it's actually been one of those like mental, like this would be funny kind of modes. I have a couple other ones for AvianArt for next year. And then we were talking about it in Discord. So then people were like, ha, that's funny. So I was like, all right, I got to make the preset now. Yes. My other fantastic idea is a mode where you start with boots. That's the only starting item. You just start with boots. But there's one boots still in the pool that takes away your boots.
Okay. I would hate that. I think everybody would hate that. So what happens if you don't do the torch item? So you just
start, no. So you have to guarantee that there's nothing on like bonk checks, right? But you just lose your boots.
All right. This is cruel and unusual punishment, I think. I've actually never have heard of something so maniacal and evil, but I'm gonna have to see something about that.
And it would be so terrible because like they're probably gonna be in a spot where you can't save scum.
Yeah, like you just can never predict it. It's like that's the mode where you save and quit after like any time you get progression. I think
exactly.
It's like, I just did mini Moldorm and got 2 items. Do I check Ice Rod Cave or do I save and quit? Like, what do I do? So you're in the middle, you know, we're recording this in the middle of groups for 2023. You're experiencing the modes we were just kind of talking about. You said before we started recording, we mentioned this, but I did want to get it here. So right now you've done how many games?
I've played 1 match so far, and that was against Maximum Barnage, and I was able to win that. That was an Invrosia match where I learned a ton about Invrosia because Moon Pearl was on the Smith.
Okay. I was about to say, did you learn because of Inverted or did you learn because of the Invrosia or the Vrosia part? Because that's usually the part that gets a lot of newer players, that item guaranteed on the boss deal. Dude, that Moon Pearl can literally be anywhere in Inverted, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of places. I've had it in Meyer Big Chest, where the Meyer Big Key was in Pod, and you know you have to bunny walk all the way down to Desert. And this was the first time I'd ever seen it on Smith. Did not know that you can't save and quit with the Smith. So there's probably several clips because both Barnage and I did the exact same thing. Picked up the Smith, saved and quit, and then got super sad. And you can see like both of us when we do it respectively. You start at the house and then you're like, you move and you're like, where's the Smith?
Where'd he go?
And there's like this pause and you're just like, yeah, it was terrible.
Inverted, is something is probably the best way to put it. You know, so let me ask you this about Invrosia. Were you blessed with the qualifier seed in Invrosia where, Hookshot was on Mushroom? Did you get, I heard that was some legendary one, but was that one you got?
I don't.
Or was yours kind of tame?
Mine was kind of tame. Yeah, I don't remember the details, which probably means it wasn't the standout one.
Gotcha. I had to ask, mainly because that one has been kind of infamous with a lot of folks. Either they nailed it or they just completely botched it. Like it was like not a whole lot of in between, I think.
Right.
I mean, you said you're 1-0 right now. That's pretty awesome. I think you're completely undefeated, and that's how we're gonna leave your main tournament experience, at least for now. Keep that train rolling. Not only did we go from out of the tournament last year to top quartile, but we're completely undefeated.
Exactly. Yep.
So I have faith in you. I'm hoping you're going to be able to, you know, keep that rolling.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, you know, as much as I want to make it to brackets, I'm not going to be disappointed if I don't. I did notch a win. I was very scared, and I'm surprised you don't have this on your notes. Very scared of being the first quartile person in history to go 0-6. But luckily, I will not be that guy.
I'm glad you're not. I mean, I didn't know. I hadn't really thought about it because in 2021, that was the last main tournament I got to play in, and the groups were different. So it was, you know, like a double elim pod. So if you went 4-0, you didn't have to play the other two matches. So you didn't have to round robin everybody twice. So, you know, last year was the first time somebody could have gone 0-6, but I wouldn't sweat it too much because here's the deal. And you know this as well as I do and everybody listening. Rando is going to be rando some days. And just because someone's like the one seed does not mean they're going to be, you know, the person who comes out on top. There's so many factors that come into play besides execution and item placement. So I got a few questions I like to ask folks, and I've kind of added one now that we've got our own house here at the Spoiler Log to house things. I figure I can add a couple more and get some people's opinions. So I've asked this before, and you don't have to think too hard on it, but what's your most embarrassing moment in Rando? And it could be super lighthearted. It can, you know, if it's, you know, too serious, like if you got really upset by something, you don't have to admit that. But like, you know, what's something you look back on and it kind of makes you think, man, that was something. Besides those Challenge Cup races.
I the immediate thing that comes to mind was in that same Ambrosia race. I also got myself locked as a bunny in TR jail, which is pretty embarrassing when you do it on speed gaming, right? And they're all like, you know, first quartile runner, and then you just like do the dumbest thing possible in the game. I've had most embarrassing. That's tough. I've had several instances. I think it was an open weekly, maybe on speed gaming or something like that. I could not figure out what to do and had to pull up my map tracker. I don't play with a map tracker. So okay. I use Emo Tracker, right? So I have the key layout and then I'm like, all right, let me switch it to map. But I wasn't watching my stream. So on my stream, the map takes up the entire stream. And this is, you know, live on speed gaming. And the commentators are just like, well, looks like Keeves might be a little lost. So that one's the most publicly embarrassing. Yeah, and I did rage quit one ladder race because I kept dying in like dumb overworld and I was just like, this is not my day, and just shut it off.
Some days are like that.
Yeah.
Some days are like that. No, I will tell you, you're definitely not the only person to ever switch tracker modes in the middle of a race trying to figure out something. You know, I saw at least two people do it in the main tournament last year with the inverted mode. It was like, where the heck is the stupid Moon Pearl? I think one of those races, it turned out to be on like Bombo's tablet or something, you know. Yeah. I don't think it's too embarrassing. You see, you got to laugh about that, I think. So that's good. That's good. What is what's your favorite MSU pack to use, or do you have one?
I can't use MSUs. I have I play on the Super Nintendo Mini Classic. Yeah, and there's not support for MSUs. Though I hear a lot of really great MSUs. Just calmed a race yesterday, and I think it was Magnet Hands was using Mega Man Battle Network. And that's like one of my, that's probably like my second favorite game series. That if I could play with an MSU, it would be that one. Cause the music in that game is just too good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I do enjoy that one. And, this is a new question. So I get to use this one on you for the first time. And I think this is something that I was trying to think of myself the other day for me. And I think it's kind of a good prompt. Maybe it'll make you think, maybe it'll be something good. But if your entire gaming history, like your memory of gaming, had to be erased, but you could keep one memory, what would it be? Because I know a lot of us, gaming means a whole lot to us. And there's different things people do in gaming all the time. So everybody's got that one thing that's like, I'm really proud that I did X. And, you know, that. So I guess if you got had to lose all those gaming memories, but you got to keep one, can you think of one that really stands out as like your proudest achievement?
So gaming memories in general or something that like I've accomplished?
Yeah. It could be something you accomplished that you were super proud of. It could just be a memory that like, man, this experience was something that I wouldn't trade the world for. It could be any memory you want it to be. It could just be I watched my brother or sister play this game and it put a huge smile on my face. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah. So I'll give you two, because okay. I can't follow the rules very well. So I think,
okay, that's fine.
I think like making main tournament, right, is just like my best achievement gaming wise, especially being quartile one, like I'll probably never do that good again. maybe you never know, but like, that's a pretty high bar for me to reach for next year. So I wouldn't trade that memory. I think in general, something gaming related, as I mentioned, grew up with, you know, my full family play games and all that kind of stuff. You know, one of my favorite memories is, you know, Christmas morning. This had to be 99, 2000. Ocarina of Time came out. So I don't know. I can't remember exactly which year that actually came out.
It was
out.
Either 98 or 99. I'm a little hazy on that myself, but I know it was one of those two.
So whatever year that was, right? Actually, I probably have. It's probably earlier than that, isn't it? Because N64 came out in 96. So anyway, just imagine I got the year correct.
All right. Perfect.
My brother and I, right? We get our presents, and we already had a N64. So we get the game, like Ocarina of Time, like it's cool. Let's plug it in. Let's play. And there's already a save file on the game from my parents who every night after we go to bed had been staying up, unwrapping the game, playing the game until like midnight, putting it back,
that's
rewrapping
awesome.
It. So they were like halfway done with the game before we even got it. And that's just God. Like one of those family memories, gaming memories that will always live in my heart there.
Oh, that's so wholesome. I love that. I love that so much. Dang. Again, I couldn't even imagine my family being like, all right, here we, or some of my family at least being like, all right, we're going to unwrap the present just to play it and then rewrap it. You got to admit, that is a lot of effort.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it kind of speaks volumes of the game, too. It's that good that we're going to unwrap, rewrap. Did you guys ever notice that maybe the paper changed, the pattern changed?
Not at all.
Not at all. Too young, maybe?
Maybe.
That's awesome. That's a great answer, by the way. I totally understand being super proud of making the main tournament because there's so many things out of your control. The way people play, the way you play is in your control. Your decisions are in your control. The item placement, definitely not in your control. And it's just kind of a, here we are. We're going to give it a shot and just do our best. And I mean, hey, you've shown that you've got that potential. So I'm looking forward to see what you have like in the future. You mentioned League Season 6. I'm assuming you guys, the three of you, are going to be coming back and partaking, seeing... I can't. We haven't even started planning as admins. I'm gonna speak as an admin for a minute. I don't know if I could send you an invite because I don't know who's entering for Invitational. But if not, I'm hoping if you guys are in open, I'm hoping you guys can maybe take one of those coveted top four spots.
Yeah, hopefully. We haven't actually talked as a team yet to make sure that we're still playing. But I'll definitely be there. So just gotta look to the other two to take their places as the Scotch and the Bee.
There you go. Besides your Twitch channel, is there anything you want to plug, anything you want to shout out before we wrap things up?
Not really. I am really bad at social media and all of that fun stuff. So yeah, I'm just on Twitch at Keebs Gaming and, you know, really just been playing a lot of Rando, but, outside of Rando, I play a lot of just retro games, had been trying to, before I picked up Rando on stream, for a year, basically had been playing the North America library of Super Nintendo releases. There's like 715 of them, and I've gotten to about 100 So eventually I'll pick that back up. So if you just like retro games in general, yeah, stop by.
Yeah, I stopped by your channel one day and I saw you were playing, which ROM hack was this one? It was Link to the Past.
Yeah, but I was playing Parallel Worlds.
That one.
And I was struggling.
That's a hard ROM hack. I've watched a few speed runs of that, and that is a hard speed run to watch. Like, it doesn't even look fun. I mean, for lack of better phrasing, it does not look fun to try and speed run that. So I hope you get through that sooner than later for your sake, baby.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna ask this too, since you brought it up, that out of the 100 or so games, not counting Chrono Trigger, not counting Link to the Past,
sure,
what's been your favorite game that you've had the chance to play in that library so far? Any outliers that are like hidden gems that maybe people, you know, don't know too much about?
There have been several. You're gonna put me on the spot and I have to think about it. This was actually the first time I played through Super Mario RPG.
Okay.
If you've never played that, highly recommend it.
Very good game.
There have been a lot of questionable games, I think, is a good way to put it. But
you can say bad.
Bad. I think when you get to the point where game design, and I'm using quotes because no one can see me, other than Dante,
Air quote game design.
The pinnacle of game design is, let's just make the entire room dark and there's an invisible maze you have to follow. And the only way to advance in said maze is to walk one step, place a thing, and if it falls through the floor, you know now you have to place one to the right or to the left, and figure out how to get through this entire floor of a dark maze. And if you fall, you have to restart because you fall down a floor. It was the most frustrating moment of, or, you know, gaming experience of my life. I think that was in
Brandish. So you're talking about Aga Tower without the lamp?
Worse. Much worse. Imagine that room, the second kind of maze dark room with no railing, but like 25 times bigger, and, you know, you're moving one tile at a time. Wow. I think it was in Brandish, but I can't recall. It might have been that or
Brandish, okay.
Or Brain Lord.
I was going to say, you've got to satisfy my curiosity as to what game to never touch.
Yeah.
In the Super Nintendo library, but I don't think I'm going to be wanting to do that one.
Yeah, though the RPGs have been hit and miss, but there's a lot of really good games.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Keebs, I wanna say thanks for coming aboard, man. This has been fun. I hope it was fun for you. I had a great time learning about like your journey and in Rando and like your passion for gaming. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Well, this has been Keebs on the Spoiler Log.
Big thanks to Keebs again for coming on. It was a great pleasure to talk the game and his gaming experience and his life story with him. I do greatly appreciate him just being able to come in and be so open with somebody he's never really interacted with until now. So what we plan here, or what I plan here, is I don't know if you guys want to know who's coming up, if I have someone lined up. So right now I'll say, and we'll keep it on par with the rest, I've got someone lined up for episode 5. We have to record. It may not be next week. It may not be 2 weeks. We'll see. However, thank you guys for subscribing to the feed. And let me know what you guys think. Let me know if you guys want to maybe get a teaser of who's coming. Or would you rather it be a mystery and just be surprised when there's a new episode that shows up? I'm okay doing either one, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So good luck to everybody who's still in tournaments. And we'll see you guys real soon.